Welcome to Edu Leadership Radio. I'm Justin Bader, your host, and my goal in each episode of this new series is to bring you the best in professional practice from actual school leaders. I'm joined this week for our debut episode by Scott Friedman, principal at Nine Mile Falls Elementary, and our topic today is working as a solo administrator. Many administrators have the luxury of working in teams, but many more of us work by ourselves. We're the only administrators in our building, and we're going to talk today with Scott about how that affects our work and how we deal with it. So, Scott, tell us about your situation. You are the only administrator in your building, correct?
Yep, I am solo as far as the building is concerned, and a lot of people around to help out and such, but I'm the only administrator here. So,
and have you always worked as a solo administrator? Have you worked as part of an administrative team in another school, or in that kind of school?
You know, up until this year, I was always part of an administrative team. Most of my experience has been at the high school level prior to coming here to the elementary. So, it's been a unique change. Being solo and not having things to bounce off people or sit down as a team of two or three or four that work in the same building and talk about stuff or share ideas and so on and so forth. So that has been a change for me this year.
And how have you seen that change impact you both in terms of your work and then in terms of other issues, you know, as far as personally?
You know, probably the biggest piece is, and I found this out a few times this year, is I'd sit around and I'm looking at school improvement plan and I go, I think this would be a good idea. But in the past, you know, I've taken that opportunity to just go next door to somebody's office and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this. And they'd say, that's a good idea, run with it. And so I've had to find ways for that to take place. Over the years, I guess, looking back upon this experience this past year, as opposed to previous years, I've really come to value that aspect of being able to bounce ideas off of somebody else. So it's, in some ways, it's created some challenges for me and some not necessarily frustrations, but trepidation every now and then when you're walking into a staff meeting or you're walking into a school improvement team meeting or something like that, and you haven't really shared much with anybody else yet. You just hope it goes well, you know. And you hope your thinking is good. It's really called upon my situational leadership and situational awareness, where I really, really have had to zero in and listen to what people are saying, probably more so than ever before. And I try to remember those conversations and what people have shared when I do think about stuff. Because, again, there's not really anybody there to bounce some things off of.
Right. One of the things, and tell me how this intersects with your experience, one of the things that I personally find difficult is that, if we're talking about just ideas for how to do something in our school, you know, anybody here can be a part of that brainstorming and bouncing ideas around. But one of the things that I find very difficult being a solo administrator is that when there's a situation where I'm really having to use my judgment, you know, it's not something I can poll people about. Maybe it's something confidential or maybe it's something, pretty leadership oriented. I'm finding that if I call a colleague, you know, an administrator that I used to work with or my boss, I find that the way that I ask the question really frames what the answer is in a way that doesn't happen when you're both in the same school. And I'm wondering if you found a way to deal with that, or if you've seen that dynamic at work, you know, where if you're working in the same school, you both know what the issue is and you might have different takes on it. And that's what's valuable. That's what's helpful. But I always feel like when I'm presenting an issue for consideration to someone outside my building, they're just getting my version, and I don't necessarily get the feedback or the discourse that would be helpful. Have you found a way to?
Yeah, you know,
have you dealt with that issue?
I have a few times, and I've tried to figure out a way to, because what the other person is missing, at least what I found out, much like you've probably found out in terms of listening to you there, is that they miss that context from which you're approaching the situation from or the climate of the building or something like that in regards to the situation and what's going on. So they're utilizing their knowledge of their situation and trying to apply it to what you're doing sometimes. And you're exactly correct. Asking the question a certain way will either get you what you're looking for as far as advice is concerned, or you're like, why did I even make that phone call? You know, and that's the difficult part, especially when it comes down to something where you are using your judgment. And many times, I guess my from this past year experience has been with some discipline type issues, you know, where a lot of people that are part of my network per se that I might call and just ask advice of are more at the secondary level right now as opposed to the elementary level at this point, since it's my first year at an elementary school. And so I haven't cultivated some of those relationships over the years to be able to pick up the phone and give somebody a holler or send an email about something real quickly. So when I talk to some secondary folks, you know, they come at it, well, just suspend them for a week. Hey, that doesn't really happen at the elementary level per se, you know. And so I think that's probably been not a frustration, but just an eye-opener for me in terms of, you know, even though we all work within the same system, there's some dramatic differences between the grade levels, and it's really emphasized the importance of me to reach out to others that are currently in the same role that I have right now, so I can begin to create those networks that will, you know, allow me to ask the questions that you were talking about, to be able to get some answers or be able to get some guidance from some folks that's gonna help out.
And let's talk about that. How do you do that? How do you build those relationships with with your job alike colleagues in your district?
You know, one thing that I've just tried to do is to stay involved in regional type meetings and stuff like that. And I've probably always done that throughout my career. So it's really showing me the importance of getting to regional type functions. Whether it's just yesterday, for example, we had a Northeast Region elementary principal meeting. And just going to that, while it was a chunk of time out of my day and had to rearrange some things to get there, being there with other elementary principals, you begin to create those relationships and form those professional relationships that allow you to pick up the phone and give somebody a call, or to send them an email, or to ask them a question, or I've got an idea about something like this. You know, too often we find ourselves, you feel like you can't ever leave the building. And, right. I've got to stay here. I can't go to this. I can't go to that. And I guess I just see the flip side of that going. It's important for me to attend those activities and or those functions, because it's not only benefits me, but in the long run, it also benefits the building. And although I do recognize that it's difficult to be gone, you know, but one afternoon, I mean, in the long run, it's really, really, really going to pay off. So that's, I guess, what I've tried to do throughout my whole career. And then obviously, if you have it within your budget at some point, to attend a conference, you know, because there you get an opportunity to meet people as well. And the whole notion, and it really does come down to you, though. I mean, you've got to get out and do those things and make it a part of your daily routine or a habit of yours. Otherwise, it won't work. And that's probably the personal side of it, you know, just in terms of forging those relationships like that. But I do a lot of reading, and I'm online quite a bit, building a network that way, you know, so I can stay connected to not only my local area, but the area beyond as well.
Right, and that's how primarily we know each other is through Twitter and through social media online. And I guess this might be an example, but have you found that some of those online connections have led to helpful conversations, or do you mostly use that for, you know, finding articles? How does the Twitter side or the online social networking side tie into your,
you know, it's
your support of yourself as an independent administrator?
It's probably been a little bit of both. You know, I mean, I found articles and or other things that help in my professional learning and growth that way. I haven't really branched off into a spot where I feel that I'd be able to utilize it in regards to helping me with confidential pieces or judgment type issues and things like that. Mm-hmm. It's been more so idea generation and asking questions of people on how did you do this in your school, how did you do that in your school, or I've taken the opportunity to Skype with a couple of principals in Canada that have provided me with ideas that I've been able to do at our school this past year. And so that's where I come from that from, as opposed to, you know, yourself and me meeting at a couple of conferences, and we'd have never even known each other if it wasn't for, you know, the social media aspects with Twitter and or Google Reader when I'm checking out your blog and other stuff like that. So it's probably bridged both, but I probably use that aspect more of just idea generation and than I do really getting that sound personal advice that I think takes a face-to-face or maybe a phone call with sometimes, or trust of a colleague, you know, with something that could be confidential that you explain in generic terms, but somebody that you really know, as opposed to just have communicated with online somehow.
Right. Now, Scott, you're in a fairly small district, is that right?
Yeah, we've got just for a little over 1,500 students in our district, two elementary schools, a middle school, and a high school.
Okay, so you have one other elementary principal that you could talk to locally if you needed someone at your level to bounce some ideas off of. And then it sounds like another resource for you, or another network for you, is these kind of regional principal gatherings that transcend the district level while being less formal and less costly and hard to get to than, say, a state-level conference. Is that right?
Yeah. And we've got a great administrative team here in our district. I think being a smaller district, three of us are solo administrators. So we really have developed something internally amongst us as well, and spend some time in our administrative meetings bouncing ideas off of each other and judgment type things and stuff like that. So whereas in a larger district, I think, you know, you have your neighborhood school and a couple other people around you, but it may not be a district-wide piece like we have, at least here. But, attending the regional stuff, it doesn't cost you money. You just drive somewhere. And it's paid huge dividends for me this past year.
That's great. Well, I'm really excited about the potential of, kind of self-organized things like that. What in the technology world might be called a foo camp, or kind of an informal gathering, maybe that happens on the outskirts of an expensive conference like South by Southwest. I've been kind of intrigued by that, and have noticed that in Washington, at least, for secondary principals and administrators, especially, often their PLC is an athletic conference. Group of other principals in their athletic conference, and they get together to talk about many things, one of which sometimes is athletics, but often, you know, they're learning from each other about leadership and about how to better do their work as principals. And I'm interested in what's going to happen over the next couple of years with the use of social media, the use of kind of online forms of learning and communication, particularly for rural areas, for people who work in schools that are either the only school in their district or very far from kind of a critical mass where you have a large group of people getting together, because I just see that as a way that that people can overcome some of those barriers of distance and really connect with each other, be able to encourage each other and bounce ideas off of each other, and as well often. You have a good relationship with people in your district, but I think it's also helpful to talk with people who are in a different context, because you get outside of that, the way we do things here. And, for me, it's tremendously encouraging to talk to you and to hear how you guys do things. And I'm just excited about that potential growing as more people get on Twitter, as we, find more ways to connect with people that we might never run into in person. And then we ultimately find ways to connect at conferences or things like that.
Right, right. No, and I think there's that's a huge, huge piece that needs to begin to happen, especially in light of budget cuts and other things that are just beginning to transpire. And one thing that you know, I've shared with our staff and talked to a couple other people about is that, you know, so often we think we have to go somewhere to do something or go somewhere to get information, but harnessing the power of technology and or the social media aspects of that, it's free. And you can have some great learning opportunities that take place. You know, you might be a solo teacher in your building. We have one first grade teacher. You know, what a great opportunity for them to connect and collaborate with another solo teacher from another district or many teachers from another school district about ideas and about curriculum and things like that. You know, I recall my days back as an athletic director when I was in a different school district, and I so looked forward to those monthly athletic director meetings, primarily because it was an opportunity for us to get together, to connect, to bounce ideas off of each other, and to discuss things. And a lot of work came about that, and a lot of professional growth came about that. So as you were discussing the athletic meetings, I got a big smile on my face because I remember those times, and those individuals are still people that I stay in contact with today. And that was, geez, years ago. I make it sound like I'm 70 years old, which I'm not, but it was 10, 12 years ago, I think, when that took place. So, and you know, those, we still struggle with trying to reach people in the far out districts, and I truly hope that they are trying to take advantage of some aspects of what you discussed, you know, connecting, because it does recharge you when you can remain connected and see that other people are having the same issues that you are. You know, we think we're on an island sometimes until we talk to other people and or think that working solo can be a disadvantage when sometimes it can be an advantage. You know, if you just take a couple of steps and get outside of that, it can be a very powerful piece.
I'm reminded of the kind of parallel idea to the idea that, you know, the school year, in a school year, the same things tend to happen year after year, and it gives us the opportunity to learn from that pattern and to build on it and have these cycles of iteration and learning so that each year we refine our practice and get better. But I think another thing that happens in parallel to that is that as new people enter the principalship, we all go through, you know, similar learning curves where we're figuring things out for ourselves for the first time. We're figuring out good ways to do things, and it occurred to me recently that one of the biggest opportunities that we have to get better at what we're doing is from not improving by ourselves, but from improving together. And you know, if I think I have to come up with something better for my school on my own, you know, like originality is not a virtue in teaching, right?
No.
and I feel like there's a huge opportunity from being less original and more collaborative, you know. And if you figured some stuff out, you know, why would I not want to pick up
by
the
all
phone
means,
and,
let,
and check
let,
with you
let me
and
know
hear that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. No, and that's exactly where, at least for me, the power of social media has come in. There's probably three things that I've done this year in my school that, you know, I saw the idea and I globbed onto it. I found out a little bit more information about it by reading some blogs that some other people had in regards to they tried those things in their school and just adapted it a little bit and talked with the staff about it, and we went off to run it, and a couple of them were some of the best things that we did in our building this past year. And it wasn't an original idea. You know, there's many things I am, and creative and original is probably not one of them. So, but without that, you know, without those connections that have been cultivated, or without my, you know, and again, taking the initiative a little bit, just to put yourself out there to a certain degree, and be willing to listen, and be willing to ask, and be willing to call upon some other folks, because people are willing to help. I think everybody inherently, at some point, wants to share, and it just makes sense, you know. So ask questions, and that there's no harm in that, obviously. But when you say if somebody else has done it, they're more than willing to share it and make, and you just tweak it and make it your own somehow. And that's a very powerful aspect.
Absolutely. Well, running through the questions that I sent you over email, I think we've hit on a lot of good stuff, and I'm wondering if you have any other thoughts. I'm out of questions. You're probably not out of ideas, though. So if you have any other closing thoughts, yeah.
Well, again, most of my ideas come from other people, so I'm kind of waiting for some, you know. I think one piece that I've really truly learned this year about working solo is that you really, again, like I touched on earlier, the situational leadership piece and that situational awareness, but it's exhibiting good, solid judgment and common sense about things. But one final aspect of that is, you know, I know one of the things that was down or mentioning was how do you work with other people in regards to confidential stuff? And if I just, touch lastly on the importance of having a right-hand person in your building, and that is usually your school secretary or office manager. And I have found that relationship has to be one that's built on trust, that has to be one that is just extremely solid, because they know things that you don't know, and you know things that they should probably know at times. That individual can be of great benefit. Much like, you know, if there's a couple of teachers on staff, but that office manager or the head secretary in your building or whatever you do have it can be a critical component to your successes as a solo administrator. And making that relationship right and professional I have found to be extremely important this year.
Do you have any advice for strengthening that relationship or figuring out what kinds of issues are the right kinds of issues to talk about with your administrative secretary? Because obviously,
well, you know,
with the administrative team, of assistant principals and so forth, there are, you know, regular opportunities to talk about issues and to bounce things with each other. How do you select the issues that you run by your administrative secretary or the things that you choose to talk about?
You know, for me, it's kind of boiled down to a daily meeting, whether it's 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half hour, whatever the case may be, reviewing schedules, reviewing calendar items, going through mail and stuff like that. And it's really, I guess, for myself and my administrative assistant, it's along the lines of no surprises. You know, nobody wants to be felt like they're, you know, they've been left out, or that they're, you know, they got egg on their face or something like that. So it's really operating with that no surprises kind of mentality. And that's not to say there's not going to be breakdowns every now and then, but keeping that line of communication open so you can operate that way. And I think through that process of those meetings and the conversations that take place and the collective understanding between each, as far as the importance of the role and just being honest and describing it. You know what? I'm the only person that's here, and we're both in this together. You know that things don't work. I know that things don't work without you, and you know things don't work without me. We can both make each other's lives really good, or really bad in some ways, you know, or difficult. So, you know, and I guess that's where that boils down to in terms of the development of that relationship, and those daily meetings really, really do kind of hone in on that. And the more that you share, the more that you bring up, it really does allow them the ownership that they've been looking for years probably. So though that's what I've done, and it seemed to have worked pretty good for me over the years. And so I just continue to do that.
Yeah, and it's almost as if your secretary becomes, you know, a quasi administrator
yep.
in some ways. You know, becomes
and,
your
you know,
assistant
and I,
principal in some ways.
And that's exactly how I've stated it. I'm glad you brought that up because I forgot to add. That's exactly how I've stated it over time. You will end up making some budget decisions and some other things, and you're, you know, me in absence of me sometimes.
Right.
And so it is the quasi piece. You're exactly correct.
Right. Well, thanks so much for your time and for your thoughts, and this will be extremely helpful for the podcast and extremely helpful to me personally as well. So I hope we can talk more again in the future and hope we can run into each other soon. And
well, thank you, Justin. And I thank you very much. And know that I value your insights and inputs and the lessons that you've given me when I see your blog or get a chance to talk to you in other places. And keep up the great work. And if I can help out in the future, I'd love to do so. So
well, thanks, Scott.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you.
Have
I greatly appreciate it.
And stay in touch.
So many thanks again to Scott Friedman of Nine Mile Falls Elementary for being my guest this week. I hope you enjoyed the inaugural episode of EduLeadership Radio, and I hope you join me for future episodes. You can subscribe on my website at eduleadership.org or in the iTunes store. Simply search for EduLeadership Radio. This episode of EduLeadership Radio is brought to you by The High Performance Administrator, my workshop on productivity for school administrators. If you are interested in hosting a workshop in your area or having me come to your principal's association or district, I would be happy to do so. You can hit me up at info@eduleadership.org or contact me through my website or on Twitter @eduleadership.